Welcome to Critical Powercast. Join us today as we speak with an engineering leader at Kohler Power Systems about cleaning up your generator spec. Today on Critical Powercast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the premiere edition of Critical Powercast, or CPC. I'm your host today, Jay Whiting. We're joined today on CPC by the head of Kohler Power's Technical Solutions Group, Mr. Dave Hsu. Dave, welcome to the program, and thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for inviting me on your podcast.
It is my pleasure, sir. So, Dave, technical solutions is a very broad term, and I know from our dealings together that you wear a lot of hats. Tell us a little bit about what it is that your group does.
Well, at the Technical Solutions Group, I have a team of engineers, and we look at applications, and we look at customer opportunities to figure out what is the best solutions that we can provide to them. Because not always is a cookie-cutter fit where we could just drop in a generator set and make it work.
Sure.
As the loads get more and more complicated, the solutions become more and more difficult, and more options are out there. So we provide those solutions, we go outside of what our standard product is and provide customer with those options to meet his needs.
So in other words, you're taking our standard product, our off-the-shelf solution, and modifying it specific to the application. Is that right?
Right. So it's typically like a catalog, off-the-shelf item, and we take it and customize it for your application so that we make sure that everything works properly.
Sure. And I know that puts you in a semi-unique position to be able to look at a lot of different generator specs, really from all over the world. And I know that through those and through those reviews, there is always going to be things that we need clarification on, things that we need to discuss with the engineers. But one of the other things that I know we run into is where a spec has been part of an office for many, many years, and the staff may have turned over once or twice, and the engineers who were left may or may not entirely understand some of the language in that spec or why it's even there. Have you seen that?
We encounter that quite often. And one of the questions is we go back to the engineer and we say, why do you have this in there? And a lot of times we'll get either no answer or they're like, this has always been in our spec. And I'm a new engineer here, and I'm not going to take the risk of pulling it out and then that job not work.
Sure, so, right.
So they don't want to take that risk, and I can understand that. So a lot of it, we go and try to educate them on what that section was about. Some of them might be from 20 or 30 years ago specification phrases that were copied over years and years, and they may not be pertinent to the products of today or the loads of today.
So thinking about generator specifications in terms of sections, typically we'll see an engine section, we'll see an alternator section, we'll see a control section. Obviously, each brings its own challenges, but I know recently you and I have been talking more and more about the alternator section, and specifically we talk about things like pitch and subtransient reactants. So let's start with those. Let's start with subtransient reactants. So subtransient reactants, to the engineers out there, is largely known as the value that you need in order to determine the available fault current from a generator system. You take the full load output and you divide it by the subtransient reactants. Dave, can you speak a little more about subtransient reactants and what reactants is and what effect that has on our system?
Yeah, so we have to look at first, what is reactance? You know, reactance is the resistance of current flow in an alternating circuit. It's very similar to pure resistance, but it's how the coils or inductance and capacitance is affecting the current flow. So one of the things we need to look at with that is that it varies upon the frequency. So if you're looking at a very short period, then the reactance is during that part. And for long-term periods, you have a different reactance. So the reactances on the generator that most engineers are involved with are three different ones. We have the subtransient reactance, which handles very sub-cycle load changes. So you're talking about SCRs firing, triacs, your UPSs, that type of stuff. Then you have your transient reactants. It's more about motor starting. You go from 3 cycles out to about 5 seconds. In that time, that reactance is, you know, because you have a different period of time, is looking at how the windings are affecting it during that period. And then you have the synchronous reactance, which is 5 seconds and above. That's your long-term short circuit capabilities going out.
Okay, so just to clarify, subtransient reactants, we're talking about a very, very short period. We're talking in terms of cycles, you know, with a transient disturbance, you know, load change, short circuit, et cetera.
Right. So when you look at like a UPS firing or a VFD firing, it's going to have an IGBT or an SCR triac type of device that fires sub-cycle, which is less than a cycle. So the subtransient reactance is the one that comes into effect. And at that point, when that SCR fires, the voltage regulator and exciter cannot respond quick enough, less than a cycle, to build that voltage back up. So it relies on the magnetic field collapsing and producing that power. So we look at the resistance at that point. You kind of look at this as like a simple DC circuit. If you had 12 volts out here and you had a light bulb on the other end and this resistance was in between, the higher the resistance, the dimmer the light would be. So the less voltage is delivered to the load. So you want that subtransient reactance number to go down so that when that SCR fires, you don't have as big a dip on the load. So when, as you lower that subtransient reactance, then your voltage dip gets less during that cycle.
So in order to lower that subtransient reactance, what is it we need to do? Do we need to change something in the alternator? Do we need to change something with the voltage regulator? What is it that we need to do in order to affect change with respect to the subtransient reactance?
Well, it gets back to what causes reactance. Reactance is done by the capacitance and inductance. So changing the voltage regulator, the exciter won't help you. You have to physically change the inductance, which either is putting more copper or steel in, make the stack longer, which typically means you are changing the physical shape of the alternator, going larger, because you want to be able to lower those numbers. So that's when you get into that effect, is going from one step to the other. The only time where that isn't coming in effect is when you have a frame size in an alternator. So like on a Kohler alternator, if you're going from a 5M and then drop down to a 7M frame, when you make that transition again, now you may drop to a 7M, might have a bigger diameter, but a shorter stack. They may overcompensate for themselves and actually go up in subtransient reactants. So it's not always going up in value, going down in value as the KW goes up.
Sure.
So does that mean that a lower subtransient reactance is preferred in all cases, or are there situations where a lower subtransient reactance may negatively affect the performance of the unit?
Well, this is where you kind of get into some issues when you start not just looking at one part of it, when you look at the overall solution. Because when we talked about lower subtransient reactance, it limits or reduces the amount of voltage distortion. So that is good for nonlinear loads. So now your voltage distortion is less. The problem comes into, as you talked of before, is subtransient reactance is also used to calculate or determine what your instantaneous short circuit current is. So you take your rated current divided by your subtransient reactance will tell you what it is. So if you keep lowering the number on the bottom, your short circuit current goes up. Now you have to look at the whole busing situation in the facility. Do I have enough bus for the paralleling gear? That may cost you more if you have multiple generator sets being able to handle all that short circuit current.
So just to summarize, lower isn't always better, but it does influence the design.
It makes the waveform better, but it could be more costly, and it could cause, you know, issues with the with downstream equipment as far as being able to handle that short circuit current.
So stepping back to the alternator for a minute, you mentioned that the physical characteristics of the alternator, the inductance, the capacitance, will have an effect on that subtransient reactance. One of the other places that we see a lot of specs kind of dipping into the alternator construction is when we see things about pitch, 2/3 pitch, 4/5 pitch, 5/6 pitch. Can you speak a little bit more about pitch and how that affects the design and the operation of the alternator?
Sure. And a lot of engineers that I talk to are not sure what even pitch is. But basically, sure. I'll try to explain it. It's a little harder doing it without pictures, but...
sure, yeah, we don't have any graphics in front of us.
So we'll look
now.
At it. It comes down to is how is the stator windings width compared to the actual width of the magnetic pole? So if we go to an 1800 RPM generator set, you have four poles, two north and two south. So each pole basically covers 90 degrees of that 360. So if you were only going to go to 60 degrees of that, that would be 60 over 90, and that's how you would come up with your 2/3 pitch. So that's kind of the way you look at it. A couple common pitches are 2/3, 4/5, and 5/6. So if you had a stator on the outside that had 120 slots, a full pitch winding, you would have the windings all the way out in those 30 slots, because that's 1/4 of the alternator. In a 5/6 pitch, you would only use 25 slots to cover. It would cover that gap. Mm-hmm. And a 4/5 would be one less at 24, and 2/3 would be at 20. So the first question comes probably, why would you change which slots you're doing? Okay. So if you went the full slot, which would make sense, I want to maximize it. I want to get the full winding. I want to be able to use that full magnetic wave shape and go into my winding. It doesn't correct any of the harmonics that are created during that point. So you end up with a lot of different harmonics being developed in the wave shape. If you go to the 5/6 pitch, which one of our competitors used to do a lot, that lowers the 5th and 7th harmonic. And the 4/5 reduces or eliminates the 5th harmonic completely. And the 2/3 pitch eliminates the 3rd harmonic and all subsequent triplins, like the 9th, the 15th, 21st, 27th, and going on. So the 2/3 goes and attacks mainly the 3rd harmonic.
And as far as those harmonics, talk to me a little bit more about that. I mean, is there certain equipment that is affected more or less by certain harmonics?
More of the electronic, sophisticated loads are more sensitive to the wave shape than what the old-fashioned loads. Hey, I'm starting a motor. It really doesn't care. Maybe gets a little warmer or cooler type of thing, but motors could handle it the way it is. But now you have VFDs and UPSs are all very concerned about how much that wave shape is different from a pure sinusoidal wave shape. Then the question comes into, why would you want to use the 2/3 versus the 5/6? 2/3 is kind of a standard in the industry. It's used out there because when you connect up a load to line to neutral, you end up with third harmonic currents. By going with the 2/3 pitch, you eliminate those currents. Now, if you were truly using a three-wire system at all, and that's all you had was ABC with no neutral currents, you could get away with doing like a 5/6 pitch. Now, the 5/6 pitch alternator, because you're spreading it out wider onto those slots, those alternators are more efficient, and they require less copper and iron. So that's why, as a manufacturer, I would rather produce you a 5/6 pitch alternator. It's less expensive for me, but it could cause you some other issues downstream if you have lined and neutral load. 2/3 pitch is a smaller pitch, which then requires more copper and iron, and it requires you to excite that copper and iron more to get the same kind of voltage out of it. So if we go back to our last discussion that we just talked about, subtransient reactance and trying to get the reactances lower, I told you needed more copper and iron. So When you lower the pitch to 2/3, you're actually also lowering your subtransient reactance because you're accomplishing the same thing. You're putting the copper and iron in. So a 2/3 pitch alternator typically will have a lower subtransient reactance, plus it'll eliminate the third harmonic for you.
Right. And remember, the hope here is that as engineers are listening to this, they go back and they review their specifications and they open up the alternator section and say, oh, wow, there's something in here about some transient reactants. There's something in here. We're requiring a 2/3 pitch alternator. And now we understand what it is that these things mean and what effect they may have on the design and on the physical size of the generator.
Right. So one last thing on the pitch was, you know, as we change that pitch, I told you it removes the harmonic, so it changes the actual wave shape, you know, how they actually look. So when you go into paralleling situation, this unit's got a different looking wave shape than in the other unit. So if you have a 5/6 and you're trying to parallel to a 2/3, wherever those wave shapes are different is going to cause circulating current between the two units. So you have to be very careful on that depending on what you're paralleling with. There are some things you can do, put a neutral reactor in it to try and limit that circulating current, but you're going to come up with circulating current in systems where you don't match the pitch of the generators going between them. So that's it. One thing to watch out for when you start mixing and matching units.
So in terms of best practice, you would say that if possible and where possible, it's always best to match the pitch of two or more generators installed in a paralleling system.
Always match the pitch of the alternators if you can. So yeah, those two are the big topics that are out there that a lot of people see in there. And especially now with the UPS loading, especially data centers and a lot of VFD loads, that subtransient reactant is becoming more and more important. And a lot of specs now say 12%. And you have to be careful on that, because when you get the data sheet from the alternator manufacturer, it's going to be in a per unit specification. And what does that per unit mean? Well, that's per the rated KVA. You have to look at it. It's probably the 125 continuous rating it's based off of. So if you pull a different KVA out of the unit, it will have a different subtransient reactance that's on there. And we have to calculate it and adjust it accordingly to your load.
And that is something that the good folks at Kohler can absolutely help you do. So that's all the time we have for this podcast today. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us today for the premiere episode of Critical PowerCast. Hopefully you learned something new. I'd also like to thank our guest for today, Mr. Dave Hsu of the Technical Solutions Group at Kohler Power Systems. Dave, thanks for taking some time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you, Jay. I really appreciate you inviting me in, and I look forward to getting back and talking with you again.
And we look forward to having you back. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the premiere episode of Critical PowerCast presented by Kohler.